magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. And basically, stop and pause, you two. I want to rewind and allow our listeners to eavesdrop on all that wonderful conversation that's been shared about Memorial Day, about some of our heritage, about some of the things we shared and said. So kind of just rewind, and I want you guys to share all that's been said, because I think it's fascinating in light of celebrating Memorial Day, or at least being mindful of our veterans and those that have served and those that have sacrificed their lives. And I know we're going to do a special reading from the Prime Life Times in a few minutes here, but I think so many people are attentive to the news stories and the celebration and honoring and Memorial Day special services. I know even Pastor Jason at a campground in Mahomet on Monday gave a talk, so hopefully a number of the veterans were out and about, and maybe you even gave a gift card to one or saw them in a restaurant and paid for their meal or whatever. But anyways, it's great having Rob here in the studio. Yeah. He's our copy editor, and Marianne, our editor-in-chief and also staff member here with the radio ministry. But I don't know, how do we replicate some of the things you were sharing? Because I was so encouraged.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering, we should just start recording the minute we walk in, because we start just talking.
And so, and then I shared a little with you two, and I know Marianne yesterday, we mentioned some of the conference that Pastor Jason and I attended, but I'm still pretty fired up over that whole concept of teamwork and these notable speakers and how they shared and were passionate for Jesus and may what I learned and was impressed on my heart.
And this was a conference for Ravi Zacharias.
Yeah, it was like for
International Ministries.
Yeah,
right?
For church so leaders. It was in Atlanta, and it was for church ministry leaders. And yesterday, Marianne and I shared a little, because I was so fired up from it. But God really impressed some things on my heart. And probably when Jason's in the studio on Friday, we'll talk a little more and dig into that whole conference. But, I'm kind of flying high still.
That's great.
Well, you know, I have been really touched this Memorial Day season by the amazing articles I've read in the news about soldiers. There's one, this young, like 28-year-old, he just like threw himself
on a grenade
and saved everybody. And the leader of his group, like, has spent the rest of his life, like, starting charities in his name and everything. The gratitude.
Yeah, he was
these
a Hispanic
men.
Guy. He was a young Hispanic.
Well, this
Marine.
One, this one was a African American young
guy.
Man.
Okay.
So I know you know a lot.
That means there are at least two people who have done that in recent times. That's astonishing, isn't it?
It is.
We have the caliber of person.
And you're a veteran.
I am a veteran.
I'm a veteran because on Monday, Rob got a free Starbucks because they were handing them out to veterans, and he gave it to me.
So. In honor of your service to our newspaper.
Oh, gosh. That's pretty low compared to service to the country, putting your life in danger.
And some of our listeners maybe remember, don't know you as our copy editor, but that guy I interviewed some years ago because you were walking across Illinois raising funds and awareness for veterans.
2010, that was.
Okay,
September,
2010.
Yeah.
Okay, 9 years ago.
Yeah, I came home on a weekend, and we turned the radio on in the morning, and Mark said, "And now, if you want to help stuff the envelopes for this month for the newsletter," and that used to be a big community deal.
Right, right.
And so we went up to the, I think it's called Riverside Church of Christ.
Yeah, River Valley.
River Valley, right to our in Fisher. That's Karen's church, in fact.
Yep.
And so we went up there, and Mark said, "Now, what did you say you're doing this summer?" And this month, and I told him, and he said, "Would you be on the radio?" Okay, that was my first claim to fame on the radio. Right?
Oh, all right. Well, you know, you have a lot of knowledge about Memorial Day, it seems to me. I mean, it used to be Decoration Day, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, 4 years after I graduated from high school, it was renamed Memorial Day.
Oh, okay. That's so recent.
I won't say what. Yeah, that was very recent. No, it wasn't very recent.
1800s, right?
Yeah, they did that in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
But something very interesting to me is that a group of 10,000 freed Negro slaves in Charleston, South Carolina, 2 years before there was a Decoration Day, organized a march through Charleston in honor of the fallen Union soldiers. And what happened was, there was a prisoner of war camp for Union soldiers in Charleston, and like so many prisoner of war camps in that era, people got sick and died. I mean, there was, well, I won't mention everything, but cholera and dysentery and every other kind of horrible thing. Bad food, not much of it.
And I think many people died, even if they just had a shrap metal wound. They didn't have the medicines and the technique, and so people died even with minor wounds, things that they would have survived.
If you got shot in the foot, they'd probably cut your whole leg off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it was. They'd give you a piece of wood to bite on or something. And so these freed blacks said, these people came and sacrificed for us, for our freedom, among other things. And so they went out there. There was a mass grave. They dug all these bodies up out of the mass grave and buried them all separately. Oh. And then they held this 10,000-person march through Charleston. That was on May 1st. And there's no direct evidence. There's a historian called B-I-G-H-T, Bite, who has tried to establish some connection between that and General Johnny Logan's declaration of Decoration Day later on. But this was right at the end of the war, and we cannot establish direct connection. However, it's the first Decoration Day or Memorial Day that was held. And it was big, and a lot of people came out to see this march. So, so at least we had a really solid group of African Americans very early on who set the standard for a big deal for Memorial Day, if you will.
Hmm. Wow, that's clear back in the Civil War.
Yeah, right
so
at the end
of the
Civil
War. So much has happened since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And you were saying the Civil War, there were more
casualties and deaths.
Of Americans.
Of Americans, because the people on both sides were Americans, than in any conflict since then, including World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, the whole thing. And the most of any
Vietnam,
war we've been in. Yeah. Or Afghanistan, Iraq, and so on.
Yeah.
Well, we had an article written by Randall C. Hill, one of our favorite authors, in the current edition of the paper called Are You a Memorial Day Celebration Scofflaw? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, scofflaw. Scofflaw. And I want to go on record as saying that Randall is a very good writer.
Yes,
I want to mention that.
Yes, he is. And he
says, do we need to notate that or something?
Yeah, we
need
a
record
notation.
Now?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Because this is audio, you know, there's the archive. We can always go to the archive and validate.
Right.
He did, in fact.
Yeah.
Mark, we notate everything Rob says. We make note of everything he says. We're going to produce a book.
You can't believe the mug my son gave me for my recent birthday.
I probably can. What
he said, I couldn't find one really for you, Dad, so this is kind of from your wife's perspective, from Mary's perspective. It says, I don't need Google. My husband knows everything.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
It's terrible because no one knows everything.
Oh, but see, Rob already knows this, but I have a little word of the day calendar, and I read the word, and if I know what it means, I feel really good about it the whole day, you know, like, wow. And if I don't, I'm like, there you go again. And so
I thought you were going to say you asked Rob.
Well, you know, I've sent him some. I bet if it's a really hard one, I'm like, Rob, you probably don't know this word. Never fails.
Yeah.
Every time. Comes back.
When I was a little boy.
Yeah, I do.
When I was a little boy and could read, my dad said, and my dad and mom invested in a lifetime subscription to the Reader's Digest, which was a big deal back then.
Yes, it was.
It cost $40. And so.
And is it really lifetime?
Yeah,
so
it's
you
really
still
lifetime.
Get it even
oh,
though.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that was a deal.
It's going to last a few more years even though they're both done.
You just don't get deals like that.
No, you don't get deals like that. So there's something in there called Word Power, and dad said, every month, work this, and if you don't know the word, look it up. And I outgrew that quiz. One day I knew all the words, and I knew them the next month. So that was really an amazing thing to me. It's like, whoa, these used to be really hard. What happened? And then when I was in the Army, I was reading Will and Errol Durant's History of Philosophy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we read that. Yeah, sure.
And I had this little dictionary.
I can't even read the Cliff Notes.
What was the name again?
And so I had this little dictionary. It was paperback. And pretty soon it didn't have the words I needed. It's like, what? And so I went up and I threw it in the wastebasket. And this guy said, can I have that? And I said, sure. He said, man, that's a good little dictionary. And so then he used it, you know. But really, Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary is probably just about the right one for me.
Oh, my word.
So,
well, we were at a graduation party, Rob and I, some weeks back, and these PhD candidate students in, like, astrophysics or something, you know, way out of my pay grade, I kind of sat there and just listened to them. Rob's holding his own and said, oh, you know, there's this research in this quantum physics, this thing, and they're like, oh, and these, I have these thoughts, and there I was like, Rob knows a little of something on everything.
Something about everything.
Yeah. And I learned all that working on the Prime Life Times. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, this article is interesting because he says at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day, which I know is past, so we can't do it this year, but everybody is supposed to take moments of
silence.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
And it's the law. It's the law. So
it's the law.
And it's a moment of reflection, too, right?
It is.
I mean,
yeah.
Silent, to be mindful. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and to commemorate the soldiers of all nations who died in the line of duty. It's pretty sobering to me.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you show me a picture of a lonely Chinese soldier out on the mountainside with his German Shepherd dog on patrol, and that touches my heart because he's a soldier.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
He's a soldier.
Sure. Well, I think Rob should read his article. This was very touching to me. It's one of my favorites.
And this is in the May edition of the Prime Life Times, which incidentally, tomorrow, about 9 in the morning, about 3 pallets, 23,000 papers will show up. Our June edition will be arriving in your mailbox if you're a subscriber. And by the weekend, we should have them in our almost 300 area locations. So we're reading still from our May edition because it is, in fact, May.
We're on target. We're on task.
And that's on page B4.
Okay,
yes,
I'm turning now.
So page B4, upper left-hand column, just in case you want to go get your Prime Life Times for May.
Excellent.
It's World Memories, and it's called Reading.
Now, do we need to describe the prop that we have in the studio?
You may if you wish. You may if you wish.
We have a little silver boxcar, the Great Northern Railroad, and it even has a sliding door that opens and closes. And Rob gave me that to keep the other day because I liked this article so much.
And those of you that have maybe that, what is it, HBO? It's the miniature boxcar.
Yeah, sorry, it's not a real one.
Yeah. And this isn't those larger ones on the big tracks. This is
H-O scale.
H-O scale.
Yeah.
And you've had it for the whole month. I think Rob dropped it off as a visual aid because of this story.
Yeah, he just thought I would enjoy it.
Well, I was not one of the boxcar children. There's a book by that
Rob's
title.
Nice to me. He brought me some coffee and brought me a little boxcar.
I'm sorry, but that's all you get before Christmas.
Okay, whatever.
So. Okay, it's called Reading. It was summer. Not just any summer. It was 1951, and I was to start school that year at Woodland School in a one-room schoolhouse southeast of our farm. I was excited. Mother started searching in earnest for the first-grade reader she knew we owned. You didn't just go out and buy a book glibly.
Yeah.
It might have cost $3 or something.
Wow.
She just didn't know quite where it was after our move to a new farm. Her search focused on the boxcar, our storage place for things that wouldn't fit into the big old farmhouse. When Grandma Cave had moved in with us, she had left an attic full of precious possessions at her old farmhouse 30 miles to the east, where her other daughter and son-in-law lived. Now those things occupied the east half of the boxcar, for which she had kicked in $25. Our storage filled the west half. Dad bought the used boxcar for $50 and paid $20 to have it moved to the farm. The movers had to get permission to go through some neighbors' fences, which a crew repaired immediately afterward. The township road had too many tight turns and steep hills for them to navigate with that 50-foot behemoth in tow.
Now, there's a picture of this, and this is, when we're talking boxcar, this is one of the boxcars you see on the railroads.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Great Northern.
It really is.
50 foot.
Yeah, and you know, people used to do all kinds of things, and I'll tell you more if we have time about things people have done with boxcars. Older wooden boxcars have been replaced with metal-sided ones. Out with the old. At the big warehouse full
Now, why didn't you put out with the old, in with the new?
Ha-ha, the new
Doesn't
ones...
Doesn't that go together?
The new ones came first, and then they gradually phased out the old ones as they got more disheveled and went into disrepair. They used to re-side, they used to put new sides on and stuff. Mm. Now, the metal, the ends were still steel at the time. So, at the big warehouse full of used boxcars, they had models set up as garages with ramps leading up into them. One was set up as a covered bridge across a little creek. Others have been converted into cute little summer cottages, complete with window shutters and flower boxes. Even the office where they did the paperwork was a converted boxcar. Our boxcar would eventually sit where the original barn had burned down about 1930, almost 20 years before we'd moved there. The old foundations surrounded a flat expanse where they parked the boxcar. We boys loved to climb the metal ladders and run up and down the catwalk on the roof. High adventure. Mm-hmm. Mother worked long days that summer, burning accumulated junk, boxes, old magazines and newspapers, burrowing ever deeper into the mysterious hidden treasures that boxcar held. Late one August afternoon, when we kids were hoeing and sweating in the potato patch, and the trash fire was burning brightly some 100 feet away, Mother gave a shout, and we all went running to where she was. She had found my older sister Delight's first-grade Dick and Jane reader. don't know if you remember those.
Oh, I do.
C-Spot run, C-Dick run.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was thrilled and wanted to learn to read on the spot, but there were still weeds to eradicate, so I just had to wait until school started in September.
Now, how old are you at this point?
I was six.
Six.
Yeah. Still, I kept that precious book near me as much as possible during my waking hours. I was going to learn to read. After supper, we always read a chapter from the Bible at the table. Dad generally read, though if he had a sore throat or wasn't feeling well, Mother read. Then an adult read from a novel or biography. The kids whose turn it was to do dishes had to wash or dry while the story was still going on. Grandma Cave was fond of a writer named Ralph Moody. In 1950, she bought his first autobiographical book, Little Britches, part of a delightful series he would go on to write. Being country folk, we enjoyed those books, and I highly recommend the entire series. You can order them from the Tattered Cover bookstore in Denver, or you can just download the Kindle edition. Grandma and Mother borrowed books from the state library, and they arrived in our mailbox out by the paved road. We had to hustle to get them read so we could mail them back to Springfield before the due date. A long, cold winter evening would see us sitting around the table, outside chores done, dishes clean, dry and put away, maybe a third or fourth chapter in progress. We never paid a fine on an overdue book because we never let one get overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big deal, by the way.
Yeah.
To this day, I can't stand to keep a library book out past the due date, though I once temporarily misplaced one from our local library.
Yep.
A kindly lady returned it to me at our next neighborhood meeting. She had picked it up at a city council meeting where I had inadvertently left it behind, and it was already gone by the time I returned to look for it 10 minutes later. I enjoy donating to the library, but I hate to pay a fine. One novel we read during a particularly cold winter, some years later, was A Gift of the Deer by Helen Hoover. My wife, her two kids, and I, living in a mobile home on the farm, joined my parents and grandmother in the house for evening meals, and we continued the tradition of reading afterward. As in my childhood, after reading from the Bible and before reading a novel or story, we took turns praying from youngest to eldest, kneeling at our chairs around the table. As head of household, Dad prayed last, though Grandma Kay was, of course, the eldest. We enjoyed classical music, so Mother borrowed long play records for our hi-fi record player. They also arrived by mail from the state library. We listened to Tchaikovsky's Peter and the Wolf, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and lots of other classical music on that old blue and white record player. I recently used the term hi-fi in the presence of a young person, 12, who responded with puzzlement. If you don't know what hi-fi was, it came just before stereo music and meant high fidelity. Don't tell me there's no culture out in the sticks. I won't buy it. Though we often had to make our own. I was frequently in trouble for reading too long in the outhouse. Yeah. We're starting to read after eating dinner.
Hey, did you hear our program where we talked about you doing a series on outhouses? Somebody
no,
had wondered,
no.
That person from Danville with her husband at the waters in Covington.
Oh, yeah, she wrote that letter.
She mentioned
letter.
About house outhouses, and I thought that might be interesting.
That'd be a good article, yeah. It would be great. I can tell you stories about outhouses.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
That's why I was frequently in trouble for reading too long in the outhouse and for starting to read after eating dinner, lunch if you grew up in town, getting lost in the story, and failing to appear outdoors in a timely manner to help with haymaking or other assigned farm chores. Years later, Dad confessed that he, too, had frequently been in trouble with his dad during his youth for the very same reason. The apple didn't fall far from the tree. Mm-hmm. I'm still an avid reader and try to read several books a week, especially in winter, and I'm still...
You hear that? Several books a week.
I
Not
know.
Like a book a week, a book a month. Several books a week.
I yeah. know. I caught it when I first read it.
Yeah. No book of the month club for me, right? And I'm still thrilled that I learned to read when I was 6 years old.
Oh.
So there you have it.
And, I tell you, what
I don't know if there's
what
time
I
there,
want
but.
To say is this, is that I am so in love with this article because you are so adept with words, you have so much knowledge, and people push their kids, and what your family did was just, they gave you this opportunity to read,
yeah,
and they let it be a thing of honor around the table, one chapter a night. That's
yeah.
all you got. It's beautiful.
Well, and you know,
but it was in your heart. And
well, I think of all my siblings still are avid readers, and my next to the youngest sister, Joy, who lives in Colorado, tragically just lost her husband
mm-hmm.
a month and a half ago. Her husband of many, many, many years. Somebody gave them a house, and they moved it over and hooked onto their other house,
mm-hmm.
so it made a bigger house as their family grew, and they. hosted people and all kinds of things. And she has a little reading room in there.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't call it that. She calls it her parlor. But
uh-huh.
I think it was a reading room. Bitter cold weather, they fire up the airtight
yeah.
stove. And she curls up in a chair with her favorite book. And I can see her here and Randy over here reading. And
but, you know, that when I see people pushing their kids to do this, do that, rushing them around to do these activities, mm-hmm. and then I see these other people, and they just let their child sit and draw because they like to draw. And they just let them do that. Just like you've sat and eagerly held on to that one little reader that you had, and then you yeah. enjoyed reading it. And
yeah,
that
yeah.
that's the way forward. That's the way.
And reading yeah, is a lost art nowadays.
Oh,
I mean, I think we
yeah.
are so busy and consumed with so many different things. I love to read, but I find myself like, gosh, I haven't read a new book. I glance at some of the old things that I've read, but it's like, shoot, I wish I had more time. So
you want a subscription
yeah.
to the Book of the Month?
Yeah, wow.
So, yes,
yeah,
so military linguists. How did you go from this
okay.
love of just simple reading?
In like a minute or less.
Okay, oh, wow.
Okay, I'll be as quick as I can. I went into the Army, and my number was up, as it were, because I had taken some time off from college, and you weren't supposed to do that without consulting with the draft board, and they were pretty reactive about that sort of thing. And so one of the options, I talked to some other guys who had done this, was to be a linguist, and I was particularly interested in Russian. So they sent me off to be a Russian linguist, had a year of Russian language training in Monterey, California, the Defense Language Institute. And then I became a Russian linguist, but because Monterey produced these students, that we were called Monterey Marys, even though there weren't any gals who did it at the time. Later there would be.
That's different.
And so
you got in touch with your feminine side there.
Yeah,
Rob.
There you go.
We were
stationed all around the Soviet Union. And we eavesdropped on what they did. Now, if I told you details, I'd have to keep you both in the safe.
I'm not even sure we should have said that.
And bring you food and water. But in any case, then I would go on to be in the military for 22 years, and it was always involved with military intelligence. And eventually, I was the first sergeant of a military intelligence linguist unit in Chicago.
Really?
Which was part of the Illinois Army National Guard, still is, and had the privilege of working with some amazing people.
Wow.
Including,
we'll scrub your name from this program.
Yeah, right.
After it's archived. And
I'll be in witness
down
protection.
The whole station.
This archive program will self-destruct in 5 seconds. So,
listen,
we
got
to go. SRN News won't wait. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you and have a great day and night.